This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Before I speak about the topic that I've chosen, which is to interpret or maybe explain, do the tafsir on the first ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah with regards to the ayat pertaining as-siyam. But before I do that, my brothers and my sisters, I would like to all remind you of a blessing that we all have. The fact that we are able to breathe in the month of Ramadan, wallahi, is a blessing in within itself. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, لو قيل لأهل القبور
make a wish. You know what this wish would be, my brothers and my sisters? The wish of being able to breathe for a day in the month of Ramadan. Because we know the reward, the greatness of the month of Ramadan, and I'm sure the speakers who have come previously to the masjid, they've told you all about it. It's times like that when a person has passed away, as Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. A man, he wishes, oh Allah, please give me a return back to the dunya. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا. So that I can do more good deeds. فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا. And that's not going to be the case. Because it's too little, too late. Many people have passed away before the month of Ramadan. And wherever I go, I tell the people this. We've been dealing with kids stabbing each other up for the most pathetic and trivial of issues in London. But alhamdulillah, a lot of them are upon khair. Many of them have left the streets over the most stupid of things. Because this guy is from this territory and that guy is from that territory because of a postcode. You know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guys, he told us with regards to the salah, إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتِ مُوَدِّعٍ. When you pray, make sure you pray the farewell prayer. And some of you may have heard me previously say this before. What does the farewell prayer mean? You know the guy on death row who's about to get killed, about to get electrocuted. Sometimes they give him, you know, you can do one last thing before we electrocute you. Some of them, they decide to pray. You know the prayer that he prays before he's about to die? Is that going to be like every other prayer? Al-jawabu la. He's going to be concentrating. He's going to make sure, inshallah, this is a prayer that's going to be accepted. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do that with every salah that we pray. And there's only a couple of what? Hours in between each salah. Dhuhr till asr is what? 4 hours? If we were told that with regards to the salah, how about the issue of the Ramadan? From one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, it's a whole year. Do you have a guarantee that you're going to be able to live on Eid? Every Eid we hear about a guy who's maybe passed away because of him drinking alcohol. Or maybe because he's jumping up and down in the club. Or maybe he was blasting music in his car. And then he gets into a car crash. Every year, I hear something like that. He just came out of the month of Ramadan and he started sinning again. So this Ramadan, my brothers and my sisters, it could be our last. And I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, guys, just because you don't have any white beards, I can see a lot of kids here today, a lot of young people. Don't think you're guaranteed that you're going to live till the next Ramadan. Wallahi, it's not a guarantee. Oh, I'm only gonna, inshallah, maybe pass away when I'm 40. There's a khalal, a deficiency in the way you're thinking. These kids who were stabbing one another, they were maybe around the same age as some of you guys. He didn't become 50. He didn't reach the age of 40. You really think Malakul Maut, the angel of death, is gonna send you a snapshot to tell you that you're about to pass away? Or you're going to get a message on Instagram or WhatsApp? Wallahi, that's not what you're going to get. So today, my brothers and my sisters, inshallah ta'ala, we want to reflect upon this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. You know, my brothers and my sisters, pondering upon the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, especially in the month of Ramadan, هو من أجل العبادات. It's from the greatest things that a person can do in this month. It's the month of Quran, right? شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran came down. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى, he says, ما رأيت شيئا يغذي العقل والروح ويحفظ الجسم ويضمن السعادة أكثر من إدامة النظر في كتاب الله. Comes of all of these perks, he said, I haven't seen anything that feeds the soul. If your heart is dead, then maybe turn to the Quran, start reading it, try to contemplate upon it. And also that feeds the mind. يغذي العقل والروح ويحفظ الجسم. And it also preserves your body. Could be the reason that you're protected from so many physical sicknesses. ويضمن السعادة. And it also guarantees you happiness. More than constantly looking in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. We all want the happy life, right? Some of us may think the happy life isn't getting into or getting a very, very nice, wonderful, blue Mercedes or a blue Audi. Or maybe me getting that type of sister that every single person wants to go after. And we think the happiness is in that. Kalla wallah. You want the happy life? Huh? من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. Whoever does good deeds and he has iman, this guy is a believer, this person is the one that we're going to give a happy life. It only doesn't come with perks, you know, and with wonderful goodies, as you might want to call it. When a person keeps looking in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, it could be that you're severely addicted to a sin, or you're really struggling to rid yourself from a bad habit. Look what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, you can find this also in Majmu' al-Fatawa. He says, فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ وَتَدَبَّرَهُ كَانَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَقْوَى الْأَسْبَابِ الْمَانِعَةِ لَهُ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِي وَبَعْضِهَا. If one reads the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and he contemplates on it, he ponders upon it, this is from the greatest of things that prevent him from falling into sin. Is it maybe that you are addicted at looking at things you shouldn't be looking at and you're struggling? Maybe you're infatuated, ja'ala kuhaya. You're deeply in love. You can't get away from that sister. Or day and night, oh sister, you're thinking about that brother. Constantly look in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Shaykh al-Islam is saying to you, if it doesn't get rid of all your sins, maybe inshallah it will remove some of the sins that you're struggling with. Because we all want to change, right? We have come into the month of Ramadan while carrying so much baggage, so much filth on our back from everything that's happened throughout the year. And we want to use Ramadan as an opportunity to become better people. Wallahi, if you walked into the month of Ramadan thinking, oh, I'm just going to, inshallah, it's just another Ramadan, there's a big issue, guys. And if you have entered into the Ramadan like that, please try to do something about it right now. There's still time. There really is. You still have the opportunity. Don't be from those the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa said Ameen to. Who knows what the meaning of Ameen is? No one puts their hand, I'm going to pick somebody out. Guys, we hear Ameen every single salah. The Jahri Salat. Huh? Adiga. Haya. Huh? How about Khaisa? Why are you scared? Huh? Anyone else?
Is it may Allah accept my prayer?
Allahu Akbar. Very close though. Very close. Huh?
May Allah accept my dua.
Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khair. Alayka nur. Fatah Allahu alayk. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen 3 times when he went onto that minbar. Not that one, by the way, but you know, the one that he had in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid. He said Ameen 3 times. He said Ameen to something. You know what that is, my brothers and my sisters? رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. May the nose of that person be dragged into the sand. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying Ameen to destruction hitting that individual. When the month of Ramadan kicks in and he's not forgiven. That should really, really ring alarm bells with us guys. And if the Messenger says Ameen to something, it's not like Muhammad or Jama' or that Shaykh or this Shaykh saying Ameen. Wallahi, it's not. That is serious. So, my brothers and my sisters, we want to ponder as Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not ponder upon the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? Or do they have locks on their hearts? Allah says in another ayah, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not ponder upon the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? Had it come from anyone, other than Allah Azza wa Jal, they would have found a lot of ikhtilaf, a lot of differing. And Allah says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ. A blessed book that we have sent down, so that you may ponder upon it. It's a blessed book. You want that blessing in your life, my brothers and my sisters, make that relationship with the Quran. If you look at all the things that are blessed, whether it might be places, whether it might be people, it's because of what? What made Laylatul Qadr a special night? Huh? Because the Quran came down on that night, right? What made the Ramadan more special than every other month? Because the Quran came down on that month. What made Jibreel the best of the angels? Because of the Quran. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What made him the greatest of the prophets and the Anbiya? And the messengers? The Quran. Because of what? Because of the Quran. Mecca and Medina today are the greatest of places. Why? Because of the Quran. You want a blessed life, my brothers and my sisters, make that relationship with the Quran. It's now or never. If we can't do something about it in this month, then wallahi, we got a problem. We got a serious problem. When you have an illness, huh? You wake up in the morning, you're feeling sick. Maybe your stomach is hurting. Or maybe any other part of your body is hurting. Where's the first place that you run to? You run to the GP or the NHS, sah? We go onto the phone straight away. Because if you don't call at 8 o'clock in the morning, there's no spaces. And when you call sometimes the GP at 8 a.m. in the morning, the call is just busy. Because everybody's calling. Why don't we do the same when it comes to us maybe suffering from some sort of illness in our hearts? The fact that we're not able to pick up the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, guys, it could be because we have an illness. Have you noticed, maybe you can relate to this, we pick up the Quran, we put it down again. We pick up the Quran, we put it down again. We're distracted. A smart sheikh, he was asked, how were the Salaf when it came to the Quran? Meaning the Tabi'een, the Tabi'ut Tabi'een, the scholars of the past. You know what he said? The same way you guys are with your phones. Same way you guys are with your phones. Every 30 seconds, huh? Check this, the WhatsApp, then we check the Instagram, then we go onto Snapchat, huh? And then we go onto Facebook, and then we come back again. Or maybe I received a message within the last minute on WhatsApp. Addicted. That's how they were when it came to the issue of the Quran. They constantly looked inside the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, He mentions these verses about Siyam in Surah Al-Baqarah. Before I go on to that, I'm going to speak about Surah Al-Baqarah for a moment. Surah Al-Baqarah, my brothers and my sisters, was called Al-Baqarah for a reason. The Imam has been reciting in the last couple of days, right? Surah Al-Baqarah. And we're going to, inshallah, reflect on a couple of issues. It was called Surah Al-Baqarah because the story of the cow was mentioned in it. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is interacting with his people, Bani Israel, huh? He told them to do what? اذبحوا بقرة. Slaughter a cow. قالوا اتتخذنا هزوا. Taking us for an idiot. Taking us for a joke. That's what he's speaking to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When you look at أبرز المقاصد, from the most clearest of objectives with regards to Surah Al-Baqarah, you know what becomes very apparent, guys? الاستسلام لله. To submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which He tells you to do and that which He tells you to stay away from. And this is exactly what we find here. Right at the end of the first half of the first juz, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us the story of the Baqarah. When the revelation came and Musa told his people, slaughter a cow. They started saying things like, as I mentioned earlier, are you taking us for an idiot? Are we a joke? Trying to mock us? And they didn't submit. Allah says what? Quoting them, قَالُوا ادْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. It didn't stop there. قَالُوا ادْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. It didn't stop there. قَالُوا ادْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. Ask your Lord to tell us exactly what this cow is. Which cow shall we take? And then they ask another stupid question. قَالُوا ادْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. Ask your Lord to tell us what color this cow is. Even though He told them to slaughter a cow. And then they ask again, قَالُوا ادْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. Ask your Lord to tell us what cow it is again. They did not submit. When the commandment came, they didn't submit. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about a contrasting incident right at the end of the juz about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was known for something in particular. You know what that is, guys? He was known to submit. When the commandment came, he would do it straight away. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord said to him, submit, he said, I have now submitted to the Lord of the worlds. And Allah Azza wa Jal later on tells us as well in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنَّ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتِ. Ibrahim told the man, it is my Lord who gives life and takes life. The guy said, no, it is me that gives life and also takes life. قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِشَمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. And then he told him, and he wasn't able to respond back later on. It is he, Allah Azza wa Jal, who brings the sun from the east and takes it to the west. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. He did not submit. My brothers and my sisters, it is the way of the believer. If you want that success, then wallahi, you have to be a submissive soul. You have to be someone who, when the ayat come to, I accept it straight away. إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنُهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. It is only the way of the believer. You have iman, right? If somebody called you a kafir, you're going to get upset. Then be somebody who has this characteristic of having iman. And he comes with alamat, signs. أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. When he is now called to what Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger want to judge between them, they say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We listen and we obey. Sometimes you and your wife are going to get into a lot of issues. It could be that you and your father are differing. It could be that you and your mother are differing. It could be that you and your loved ones, are differing. That happens, right? And take this from me, guys. If you are an individual who tends to not go back to how Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to do, don't expect your mushkilas, your problems to come to an end. You have a wife now, and some of you are going to get married in the future, and you're bound to differ. If you don't prepare yourself now from being someone, oh, Allah Azza wa Jal said this, I'm going to accept it. The Messenger of Allah said this, I'm going to accept it. Later on, it's going to backfire really badly. And we've seen it happen. And the last thing you want to go through is a marriage issue and a divorce. You see? And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about what? The Yahud who used to say, Sami'na wa Asayna. We listen and we disobey. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us another verse, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Whoever now, when the evidences are brought to him and he turns away, you know what we're going to give him? We're going to give him a depressed life. A depressed life. You ask yourself now, is my life alright? And if my life's not alright, let me maybe ponder, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I've been told what is right and then I turned away. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. He doesn't stop there. On يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ he's brought and he's blind. So when we have now this objective, this maqsad in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Baqarah, which talks about being submissive. Allah Azza wa Jal, he brings about some of the most difficult of acts that a person might really, really struggle with. The Arkanul Islam, Salah, Siyam, fasting, paying zakah, and also Hajj. They were all mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah sets the tone for you that you should be someone who is submissive, right? So when some of these difficult ibadat, like fasting, I'm telling you now guys, fasting is not easy. Would anyone ever like choose to just like what, stay away from food and drink for 17 hours? No one would normally like do that, right? Because it's difficult. And likewise, Hajj. Those who have gone on Hajj know how difficult it is to go and perform Hajj. I see every year when I take the group on Hajj, the way people become so exhausted. You have to walk for miles sometimes. Mina to the Jamarat where you go and stone. It's very far. By the time people get back, they're out, knockout. By the end of Hajj, everybody gets sick. Hajj is only what? 5 days? And then people need days to recover. Likewise, zakat. The hard-earned money, that dollars and then pounds, for you now to go and take and give it to somebody else can be very difficult upon the nafs. So Allah Azza wa Jal sets the tone in Surah Al-Baqarah for you now to become submissive. And you have in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي Ibrahim. You have a perfect example in Ibrahim. When his Lord told him what to slaughter his child. Imagine I told you go and slaughter your brother. Or the father is now told to go and slaughter his son. It's going to be a problem. His Lord told him to leave his wife in the middle of the desert. Allahu amaraka bihada. He accepted it straight away. Well, what does that mean? Anytime a guy brings me an evidence, I have to like act upon it straight away? I'll teach you guys a principle. Nassun musaddaq wa bahthun muhaqqaq. We've just spoke about, you know, being submissive, right? Tomorrow somebody is going to bring you an evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah, encouraging you now to go and blow yourself up. When he's misinterpreting some of these evidences, how are you going to go to Syria and blow yourself up thinking that this is a shortcut to Hurul Ain? To the women of Jannah? This is why any evidence that is brought to you, you have to be ready to accept it. But you have to first check its authenticity. And secondly, is it being used in its proper context? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O you who believe. You know, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, my brothers and my sisters, it is mentioned in the Quran 89 times. And in Surah Al-Baqarah that has been recited upon us in the Taraweeh, 11 times it was mentioned. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. When we hear that, what is it that passes through our minds? I'm going to mention to you guys two things. The first point, my brothers and my sisters, أن الله سبحانه وتعالى جعلك من أهل هذه الصفة وأن تشكره عليه. it should be that you become a thankful individual. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you from those الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe. Because you know, my brothers and my sisters, we as Muslims, maybe the overwhelming majority of us here today, who were born upon Al-Islam, we had it easy. Wallahi, we had it easy. Some of those who have embraced Al-Islam, they have to go through hell, guys, in order to come to Al-Islam. And then when they embrace Al-Islam, they hold on to their religion. Because some of their family members are fighting them day and night to leave the fold of Al-Islam. And we maybe who have been born upon the religion of Al-Islam, huh? We might not necessarily even give it any significance. Or we take it for granted. Even the closest of people, my brothers and my sisters, that you might have in your household or in your circle, that might be wonderful individuals, wallahi, they might not be able to save you on your deathbed. What guarantee do you have that you're going to die upon an iman on your deathbed? Can anybody give me a guarantee? We've seen brothers start practicing, and then what? They left istiqamah again. The guy is doing all sorts of nonsense, all sorts of craziness with girls, and this was maybe an individual who used to seek knowledge, who used to listen to hadith, studying from amongst us. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam wasn't able to guide his uncle. His uncle, my brothers and my sisters, he knew the truth. He knew what was right and what was wrong. So you have them lines of poetry, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ وَحَذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ لَرَأَيْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. Abu Talib is quoted saying, I have come to know that the religion of Muhammad is the best of the religions. He knew what was right and what was wrong, guys. And then what did he say? If it wasn't for being blamed, criticized, being shunned, huh? The fear of the people, you would have seen me entering into the religion of Islam. On his deathbed, guys, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to him, قُلْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا كَلِمَةٌ حَاجِبِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say, لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I'm going to defend you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. I'm going to defend you, O uncle. And his friends are next to him. أَتَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Do you desire other than the religion of Abdul Muttalib? Bad companions. They cause him now to die upon kufr. Now you ask yourself, in the circle that you have, is this guy the type of person who's going to be speaking about Fortnite on your deathbed? Or he's going to be talking about all sorts of nonsense? The guy who talks about, you know, girls all the time when you're with him. Could be the last statement that you say. Or is he a person who's reminding you of the deen of Allah Azza all the time? The messenger, guys. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam wasn't able to guide his uncle. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You do not guide the people who you love. Allah is telling him. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's Allah Azza wa Jalla who guides. If the Messenger wasn't able to guide, do you think your friends are going to be able to guide you on your deathbed, guys? So when يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, you hear, you what? Rush to being thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And you being thankful, guys, could be the reason what? That you die upon al-Iman. The Messenger ﷺ used to make this dua. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O turn of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your religion. And it could be because you're thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that good ending. Every now and again we see a picture going around on WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook of somebody who died while he was in his salah or he was reading Quran. Alayhi kadalik? Put your hand up if you've seen this before. A lot of people have seen it. That's a good example of what? A wonderful ending. And then you've got the bad ending as well. That may have or may happen every Eid. Guys, it's come out of Ramadan. And some of you may have seen some of these clips online. When me and some of the brothers, we would go to the main road, like Southall. Wallahi, you actually believe in the hadith that the shaitan have been released. Shaitan get locked up in Ramadan, right? On that day, bro, Shaitan has been released. What you see is craziness. Wallahi al-azim. People actually die in that state. The other thing, my brothers and my sisters, you have to understand is, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu is a i'lan. A person is announcing the shahada to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Most of us, we might say La ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, but do we know what it really means? Do we really know? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, my brothers and my sisters, it means that nobody has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah Azza wa Jal. And that the messenger is the final messenger. And this part to the end, wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, it consists of some components. Ta'atuhu fi ma amar, tasdiquhu fi ma akhbar, wajtinab ma naha anhu wa zajar. When you say the kalima, it means that you're going to do what the Messenger told you to do. And you're going to stay away from the things the Messenger told you to stay away from. And you're going to believe in every letter that he came with. The Mushrikeen Quraysh, guys. Are you guys in the middle alright? Huh? You guys alright? You know, I'm the type of guy who tells people to start standing up, you know, in the lecture. And you're going to end up leaving the lecture looking down. Why? Because you feel embarrassed. Mushrikeen Quraysh, people of the past, they would refrain from saying La ilaha illallah because they knew what it meant. And today we might say La ilaha illallah, we don't even know what it means. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ وَيَقُولُنَا إِنَّا لَتَارِكُ آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرِ الْمَجْنُونَ. When it was said to them, say La ilaha, they become arrogant. And they would say, you want us to leave our gods for a sha'ir, a poet that is crazy. They knew if they said La ilaha illallah, they have to destroy all of these gods around the Kaaba. They would have to destroy all of that. Because that's exactly what La ilaha illallah means. But today, La ilaha illallah is said, and we might say what? I swear my mom's life. You guys know I swear my mom's life? I swear my dad's life? Or I swear my nan's life? Do we not say that? Put your hand up if you've heard somebody saying this. The overwhelming majority, Allahu Akbar. Do you know, my brothers and my sisters, saying that statement is more worse than a person going out and sleeping with his mother? Sleeping with your mother is a major sin. Or sleeping with your sister. As for this, my brothers and my sisters, is shirk asghar. And it could potentially go up to shirk akbar. Shirk asghar, which is the minor shirk, is above all major sins. That's the problem, because a person has studied La ilaha illallah properly. Man halafa bighayri Allah faqad ashrak. Whoever now swears by other than Allah Azza wa Jal, he's fallen into shirk. And today we find the overwhelming majority of a mainstream group here in the UK who go to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard in my own ears, Ya Rasulullah, standing in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave. Do you know that's worse than zina? Do you know that's worse than murder? Than usury? And the rest of the major sins that we might hear about? I've seen around the Kaaba, people circulating saying, Oh Ali, anjina min an-nar. Oh Ali, save us from the fire. That's a problem with Tawheed. And people are saying La ilaha illallah. That's a problem, guys. This is why the issue of La ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah can be stretched out into what? Many muhadarat. So one, my brothers and my sisters, really needs to contemplate when he hears Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, guys, he said, when you hear Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, إذا سمعت يا أيها الذين آمنوا فأرعها سمعك. Make sure you lend your ear. Pay attention, because something important is about to come. إما عن خير تؤمر به وإما عن شر تنهى عنه. Because you're about to be told of a khair, so that you can go and rush to doing it. Or maybe you're about to be warned of something severe, something problematic. And what does a smart guy do? He goes after the khair and he stays away from the shar. And he also inquires about the evil so he doesn't fall into it. And that's what Hudhayfa used to do. He said, كان الناس يسألون عن الخير وكنت أسأل عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني. The companions, they used to ask about the good so they can go and do it. I used to ask about the bad stuff out of fear that I now might become afflicted. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, my brothers and my sisters, who is he? The man who said about himself, Wallahi, لقد علم أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه أن يعلم بكتاب الله. The companions have come to know that I am the most knowledgeable when it comes to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. He also said it by himself, ما من آية في كتاب الله إلا وأنا أعلم أين نزلت ومتى نزلت. There's not a book, there's not an ayah in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal except that I know when it came down and where it came down. ولو كنت أعلم أحدا أعلم مني تبلغه المطي لرحلت إليه. If I knew anybody who was more knowledgeable than me with regards to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and my riding beast can cover the distance, I would have gone to him. He also said, والله لقد أخذت 70 سورة من فيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. I have taken 70 chapters from the mouth of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم directly. It's the understanding of the Salaf, my brothers and my sisters. And when I say Salaf, I mean the three golden generation, not somebody who's currently walking on the face of this earth, who might die with fitna tomorrow. The three golden generations, they were the Salaf. Those the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم praised. خيركم قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The best of the people are who? My generation, my companions, those who came after them and those who came after them. It is their understanding that we need when we study the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when we understand the sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not my understanding, not my dad's understanding, or your understanding, or your dad, or your sheikh, or my sheikh. La. It's people like Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, him and Ibn Mas'ud, they were seen as the mukthirin, whose tafsir may sometimes take precedence over others. Some of the scholars, they held this view. Zarkhashi rahimahullah ta'ala mentions in Al-Burhan, أن تفسير ابن عباس مقدم على سائر التفاسير. His tafsir, ابن عباس, takes precedence over the other companions. And even Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فإن أعلم الناس بالتفسير هم أهل مكة لأنهم أصحاب رسول أصحاب ابن عباس. The most knowledgeable when it comes to the tafsir are who? The people of Mecca. Why? Because they were the students and the companions of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, my brothers and my sisters, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw the zeal, the eagerness that he had with regards to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, he made a dua for him. Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen. Allahumma allimhu al-Qur'an. Allahumma allimhu al-ta'wil. Oh Allah, teach him the Qur'an. Oh Allah, teach him the ta'wil. Oh Allah, give him an understanding in the religion. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? Their tafasir are golden. Allah raised these individuals. You can find that their tafasir is filled with the books of tafsir. Just open up Ibn Kathir's book. Or Ibn Jarir, At-Tabari. Every other page you're going to find Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And then there are students like Mujahid ibn Jabbar, Ata ibn Abi Rabah. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, my brothers and my sisters, quickly mentioned this even though I'm going off topic here. So that, inshallah, maybe this can inspire every single one of you guys. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, he was an Abyssinian. Kana habashiyan aswada, a'wara, aftasa, a'raja, ashal, la mar'ata lahu. He was somebody who used to limp. He was limping. Huh? He was also one-eyed. He was a'war. Also, my brothers and my sisters, he was pug-nosed. He wasn't the most handsome of people. And he was also paralyzed. Today in society, they belittle somebody who may look like that, right? And shun him. And not give him much attention. And he didn't have a wife, guys. And he became blind at the end of his life. وَعُمِيَ فِي آخِرُ عُمْرِهِ. But you know what raised him, my brothers and my sisters? العلم بالقرآن والعمل به. The ilm that he attained with regards to the Quran, and also what? Huh? Acting upon it. A man like that. Also, I'm going to mention another thing, inshallah ta'ala. I think this might be interesting to you guys. Guys, you know Queen Elizabeth? Queen Elizabeth. She was to travel tomorrow. And she ends up leaving a slave in charge. Huh? What would happen? There's going to be bukh and balayo. Everybody's going to be speaking about it. You're going to find on just about every mainstream newspaper. That's exactly what Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu done. One time he left and reached a place called Usfan, and there was an individual called Ibn Abza, Abdurrahman ibn Abza. Sorry, there was Nafi' Afwan. He ended up bumping into Nafi', Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar. He asked him, who did you leave Mecca behind? He said, Mawla min Mawalina, a slave from the many slaves that we have. He was shocked. You left a slave behind in charge? Umar said to him, إِنَّهُ عَالِمٌ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّهُ عَالِمٌ بِالْفَرَائِدِ أَلَا تَسْمَعُ قَوْلَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِآخَرِينَ. Allah raises people because of the Qur'an, and other people are humiliated. He told him that he's somebody who knows the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he knows inheritance as well. Allah raised a slave, raised a paralyzed individual who wasn't the most appealing to others because of the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Kutiba alaykum. When we find this, loved my brothers and my sisters, Kutiba, huwa min alfadhi al-wujub. It's from the wordings that teach us that this act is now what? Mandatory, it's a must. Find us a lot in the Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum al-qital. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum al-qisas. Hafid al-Hakim, he says, arba'u alfadhin min al-amru duri, if'al li taf'al ismu fi'lin masdari, wa qad yusaqu fi masaq al-khabari wa bil jazaa' wa nahwi fa'tabiri. It's from the wordings, my brothers, that come under masaq al-khabar, in which that act, now we know that this is what? An act that must be done. One time the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the minbar, and he said, Inna Allah kataba. Inna Allah kataba alaykum al-hajj. Allah Azza wa Jal has made kataba upon you the issue of hajj. Meaning, he made it wajib upon you. فقام الأقرع ابن حابزة في كل عام يا رسول الله لو قلت ولا وجب الحج مرة فما زاد فهو تطوع. So a man stood up and he said, is it every year يا رسول الله? He says only once. Point of the matter is, this word, when we find it, kutiba, is from the wordings that indicate what? That act to be mandatory. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Just as it was prescribed upon the people before you. If you look at some of the techniques that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in this ayah, and then the ayah that comes after it, He uses a technique called muhawwinat, where Allah Azza wa Jal makes the issue very, very light in your eyes. When Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the companions, just like the people before you, as opposed to the commandment coming straight away, upon you is hajj, upon you is sawm. When you are told that so and so has done kadha wa kadha, doesn't that encourage you? When your dad sometimes comes to you and he says, oh look, so and so is doing kadha wa kadha. Huh? It makes something move in your heart, right? Or if he can do it, I can do it as well. When you're playing football and you're doing stepovers, huh? And you see that guy, he's done that skill. You think to yourself, I can do that as well. And then you start showing these skills in front of everybody else. He managed to buy it, I'm going to go do it as well. That's exactly what he does. Allah Azza wa Jal reminds them that this was the way of the people before you. And the Sahaba, they hated. They hated, they couldn't bear and stand that Ahlul Kitab had something that they didn't have. I'll just wait for everybody to move forward, inshallah.
brothers move forward because we need
Yeah, guys, the masjid is really packed. Inshallah. Are you with me, guys? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this technique in order to make the issue very light in their eyes. And the Sahaba, they couldn't bear. Huh? The fact that the people of the book used to boast, we have this. And they wouldn't like that. So if they were able to do this, we are going to do something as well. لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. Everyone had a sharia in the past. What does Allah then say? فَاسْتَبِخُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Hasten to doing good deeds. So the Sahaba, they always wanted to be the best. So by Allah Azza wa Jalla reminding them that so and so done it, they went up a gear. And what type of fasting did they have? Was it the same fasting that we do? A difference between the fasting that we do and the one that they done, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us in Sahih Muslim, فَصْلُ مَا بَيْنَ صِيَامِنَا وَصِيَامِ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أَكْلَةُ السَّحَرِ. The difference between the fasting that we do and the fasting of the people of the book, Jews and the Christians, is that we have something called suhoor. Huh? And did they also have 30 days of fasting? From what we know, is that they used to fast 3 days of every month. And also Siyamu Ashura. Siyamu Ashura was wajib upon them. Because when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Al-Madinah, he saw the Jews fasting on that day. That time Ramadan wasn't wajib. Right? He said, ma hadha, what are you guys doing? They said, hadha yawmun naja Allahu Musa. This is the day when Allah Azza wa Jal saved Musa. Wa nahnu nasumuhu. So we are fasting. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around and said, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. We have more of a right with regards to Musa than you guys. فَصَامُ أَمْرَ النَّاسِ بِسْيَامِهِ. He fasted and he commanded everybody else to fast. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah to Medina, the first year, يوم عاشورا was the only act of siyam that was wajib. Then in the second year, these ayat that we're currently going through came down. In the month of Sha'ban, 1 month before the month of Ramadan. So then the Messenger fasted 9 Ramadanat and then he passed away. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Kutiba alaykum al-siyam. How long do we have? 15 minutes. Allahu Akbar. Zakallah khair. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, I can finish the ayah. Siyam. Siyam, what does it mean linguistically? Huh? It means to? Psalm. Psalm, but what does it mean linguistically? In the language? Huh? Good, very good. It means al-imsak, which means to withhold from something. So if I say to you, you need to do psalm from Snapchat or Instagram, what does that mean? You have to withhold from it. So inshallah, all of us are going to do psalm from Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook, inshallah ta'ala, for the rest of the week. What does that mean? Huh? You withhold from it, you stop from it, you refrain from it. And this is the same technical meaning, the same linguistic meaning that was mentioned in the Quran. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Maryam and she sought refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكِ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيَّ. Huh? Straight away she was a bit shocked when he came to her. She was very shy. And our sister should really take a lesson from this. Today, the moment, you know, a guy messages you on Instagram, you get, start getting all excited. The shyness goes out of the window. Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, what did she say? Inni a'udhu bir-Rahmani mink. I seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jalla from yourself. Who's she talking to? She's talking to Jibreel. She doesn't know it's Jibreel. If you are somebody who has taqwa. So the next time a brother contacts you, what do you say? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Allah Azza wa Jalla later on he tells us that Jibreel said to her, فَكُلِي وَاشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فقولي إني نظرت للرحمن صوما. If anybody asks you, oh Maryam, where did you get this child from? Because Maryam was a very shy person, right? In another ayah, وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ, nobody ever touched me. And I was never, وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيَّ, I was never a prostitute, she quotes. So the people are going to ask me, where did I get this child from? Say to them, إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ لِلْرَحْمَانِ صَوْمًا, I have done a soum. I've made a vow that I am going to do soum from what? From speaking. So her soum was what? To stay away from speaking. Just let the child in the cradle speak. This is when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam started speaking. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتِ. Until the end of the qissa, story. So that's what it means linguistically. Technically, what does it mean? إِمْسَاكٌ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مَخْصُوصٍ فِي وَقْتٍ مَخْصُوصٍ بِنِيَةٍ مَخْصُوصَ مِنْ شَخْصٍ مَخْصُوصٍ. It is to stay away from something specifically. What do we need to stay away from? Food, drink, and also sexual intercourse. That's the first thing that's going to invalidate and other things that come with that meaning. And we also have to stay away from something else, guys. And this is the greater type of fast. You have that which is going to invalidate your fasting, like if a person eats. And also we have that which is going to reduce what? The reward. Imagine, my brothers and my sisters, you come on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, 17 hours, Ramadan 2019, and you have zilf. وَحْدًا مَهِيسَتِدْ. You have nothing. How are you going to feel? 17 hours of blood, sweat and tears, huh? And you get nothing on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. That could possibly happen. You know when that could happen? If you don't control your tongue, and you don't control your eyes, and you don't control your ears. This is exactly what Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said. He said, إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَسُمْ سَمْعُكَ وَبَصَرُكَ وَلِسَانُكَ مِنَ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَآثِمِ. If you're going to fast, make sure your eyes are fasting, your ears are fasting, and your tongue is fasting as well. From what? From lying and all types of evil sin. وَلَا تُؤْذِي خَادِمَكَ. And don't also harm your servant. Today we don't have any servants, but we have wives, right? A wife's, huh? The Messenger, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, do not harm your khadim. Today, what are we doing? We've got a whole list. I want this for the first day, then I want malawah on the second day, and then I want shurba on the third day, then I want kedha wa kedha on the fifth day. To such an extent that the sister or the wife or the mom, huh? Or ambulo. She can't even benefit from her Ramadan. She's just busy cooking all day long. Shahid min al-kalam, guys, that is the bigger type of fasting. And that is what? That a person refrains from what? That which is going to destroy his fast and he's going to get nothing out of it. And that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ told us. Don't think that Muhammad and Jama' get the exact same reward. Or Ruqayya and also what? Fatima, they're getting the same reward. La wallah. Prophet ﷺ told us, رُبَّ صَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ وَالْعَطَشِ. Perhaps a guy fasts and he gets nothing out of fasting except what? Hunger and thirst. You wasted your time, brother and my sister. Three things that, you know, the scholars of fiqh in their books, they mention when it comes to talking about fasting in the books of fiqh. They mention كَذِب, نَمِيمَ, and الْغِيبَ. Lying, we all know what lying means, right? فَإِنَ الْكَذِبُ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَ الْفُجُورِ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ حَتَّى يُكْتُبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. Lying leads to what? Fujur, transgression, wickedness. Huh? And that leads to what? It leads to the fire. Any action that has the threat of the fire attached to it, we know that is a major sin. It's so easy to do, right? When we hear about zina, Allah, that guy committed zina, she got pregnant, it's a major sin, right? Kadhib, lying, is also a major sin. Comes under the same umbrella, because they're both major sins. Then you have a namima, taking speech from here, and then taking it over there, causing fitna and fasad amongst the people. Are you with me, guys? And then last thing that you have that the scholars sometimes tend to mention, there's other things as well, is what? Al-ghibatu. أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَةُ The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, do you guys know what ghiba is? ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكِ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ To mention about your brother that which he doesn't like in his absence. You know, some of the people of the past, some of the Salaf, they held the view that if a person backbites, then his fast has become invalidated. He has no fast that day, he has to repeat it again. That's serious, guys. You know how you eat, huh? If you eat and you drink, your fasting is broken, right? Some scholars held the view that if you do ghiba, you backbite someone, you need to repeat that day again. Khalas, it's done. Assalamu alaikum. That's what it means. من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. Whoever doesn't leave off قول الزور, evil idle speech in the month of Ramadan or when fasting and also acting upon it and doing ignorant stuff, Allah is not in need of you withholding from food and drink. Are you with me, guys? من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. This is the wisdom behind fasting, my brothers and my sisters. Because we want to attain at-taqwa. At-taqwa, my brothers and my sisters, a misconception that some may have is that it means fear. That's only one component or one little aspect of what taqwa means. Taqwa is a very, very comprehensive issue. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, if I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he accepted one sajda from me, one sujood, you guys know what sujood is a part of the prayer. That would have been sufficient. The fact that I know that Allah accepted one sujood, I would have left to pass away. I would have left to pass away, khalas, leave this dunya. Because why? Because Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Allah only accepts from those who have a taqwa. And Allah Azza wa Jal, through fasting, He wants you to attain that taqwa. That's going to take you to Al-Jannah. So what does a taqwa mean? Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked, or he was asked in fact, what is taqwa? He responded back and he said, هَلْ أَخَذْتَ طَرِيقًا ذَاتَ شَوْكٍ Have you ever taken a pathway that had a lot of thorns? He said, yeah. He said, what did you do? He said, تَجَاوَزْتُ عَنْهُ وَقَصَرْتُ عَنْهُ and so on and so forth. Every time I saw a horn, not a horn, a thorn, huh? I tried to go around it, I tried to step over it, I was very, very careful. He goes, فَذَاكَ taqwa. That's exactly what taqwa is. If you still haven't understood what it means, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala explains it further. وَهُوَ أَن يَجْعَلَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَخَافُ وِقَايَةً تَقِيهُ مِنْ It is to place a shield between you and that which you fear. When the guy goes onto the battlefield, what does he do? He has a shield, right? Or does he go out with his chest like that? I've been working out, huh? I've got 8 packs in that. And my upper part is coming out. I don't need a shield. La, nobody's going to do that in his right mind. And this is exactly what he told us. It's a shield, a barrier that a person places in front of him. And what is this barrier? This barrier is فعل الطاعات واجتناب المنهيات. To do what Allah has told you to do and to stay away from the things that Allah told you to stay away from. So you've placed that shield of that which I just mentioned between you and that which you fear. It's Allah Azza wa Jal. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? Because when a person is fasting, there is less blood flowing through his body, right? We'll feel very, very tired. We don't even think about that girl or this guy or this, huh? We're too busy, our minds are occupied. We don't have no food and no drink. And this is exactly what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, I'm going to conclude with this. He says that's what exactly the fasting does. When you look at the hadith, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمْ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ The shaytan, we know the hadith, right? That passes through Bani Adam the same way the blood rushes through his veins. Huh? So when a person has less blood running through his veins, huh? The shaytan has a smaller place to rush through. That's why it's far away from him. That's why, you know, the Messenger told the young guy to go and fast, because it's going to castrate him. It's going to keep him away from the shahwa. Huh? I remember, subhanAllah, this is one thing that my, you know, one little funny thing that my cousin one time said to me. He was walking out of Masjid Nabawi, and I asked him, "Don't you miss your wife?" Huh? He goes, "Yeah, wallahi, I do, man. Sometimes it gets to me. I eat the shawarma next door, huh? Because there's a shawarma spot next to his house. And I drink, and I'm so full. I sit in front of the TV. The moment I see a woman walking past, I feel like I want to stand up. Shahwa, like, just totally overwhelms him. Because he's eating food and drink, and the scholars, they say that the food and the drink is asas and ma'asi. It is the origin, the foundation of sinning. So he's already become full, he wants the next thing now. Huh? He's eaten, he's drinking, now he wants to go and relieve himself. That's what the food and the drink does to you. Read between the lines. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us from what we had, and to make this a month in which we really get the most out of it. You know, I got told, like, I think 3 minutes ago, that time's up, but if anyone has, like, a question, inshallah ta'ala, before iftar, how long do we have?
4 minutes. 47, we've got to break our fast in Northampton, so we've got 4 minutes. If any one of you got one or two questions, clarifications, anything wants to ask, please do so in the next few minutes, inshallah.